Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Joining us now from Philadelphia, Jody McDonald, the great Jody Mack. Welcome back. Grateful to hear your perspective. Appreciate it.
Always enjoy hopping on with you, Steve.
Jody, before I get to the Eagles, this report came out, which everybody's been expecting, about Daniel Snyder and the Washington Commanders. Was there any surprise to you in this report at all?
Not really. The organization has been a stone-cold mess / dumpster fire for several years now. So anything that comes out of D.C., it kind of gets par for the course with where our political structure is these days, infighting, unnecessary things being done. Yeah, so as if it's D.C., no one should be surprised by the mess that comes out of that town.
No, that's exactly right. So now let's go to what's going right. So there's some football team out there that's 11-1 against the Titans. A.J. Brown, the former Titan, and after seeing that performance, John Robinson, I think, lost his job. You look at A.J., now you get to see him on an every week basis as opposed to highlights here and there. What do you think of this guy?
A stone-cold stud and a great acquisition by the Eagles. They saw it during this offseason that some of the top receivers were available on the open market. Look at what Tyreek Hill is doing for the Dolphins. Devontae Adams is playing very well for the Raiders. Doesn't mean they're in a playoff position, but you got three of the top 10 wide receivers who were dealt in trades this year. One guy's moved via free agency, we're not always surprised, but you just don't see three of the best players at a position be traded in the NFL during the offseason. And Howie Roseman got one of them. He made the right offer at the right time. Tennessee was ready to move on and not pay him the $100 million they knew would cost to get him signed. The Eagles were. They were smart. Now Jalen Hurts has as good a 1-2 punch at wide receiver as anybody in the National Football League, and he's taken advantage of it.
Adams leaves Green Bay, but there's a big contract for Aaron Rodgers. Hill leaves Kansas City. There's a big contract for Patrick Mahomes. How important to you, Jody, is this window where Jalen Hurts is being paid second-round money to open the door for the Eagles to do what they need to win?
Very much so, because I think you and I talked a month or two ago. At the time, the Eagles might have been undefeated, and Jalen Hurts was looking good, and people were starting to get excited about him. Now, 6 weeks later, people go, oh, my God, he's going to be a $45 to $50 million quarterback. And he is, and he's earned it, and he deserves it. So you're right. At some point, the Eagles are going to have to pony up the dough. They can't do anything about it now. I feel too many calls on the air. Why don't they get an extension done now? Maybe they can get them on a discount. They couldn't if they wanted to. The rules of the NFL do not allow it. You have to wait till the season is over before you can even begin extension conversations. So, yeah, Jalen Hurts is helping them win. Jalen Hurts is going to give them a chance to make a Super Bowl run this year. But at some point, Jalen Hurts is going to get very expensive to stay as the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I feel like the illuminating moment in the NFL was when Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. And Seattle parlayed that into winning and then getting to a second Super Bowl because it gave them the financial flexibility. And now we're seeing it again with Jalen Hurts.
That's the way it works in the National Football League. Now, Detroit went out, got Matthew Stafford, paid him above market value, not outrageous $45, $50 million, just continues to go up and up and up. But they were able to get a quarterback. They knew they needed a quarterback. They traded for one, even though he was fairly highly paid, and they still won a Super Bowl. So it's not impossible, but it is easier for a team to win a Super Bowl with a quarterback who is still on his first contract if he can get to that franchise quarterback production-type level. And Jalen Hurts has done just that in his third year in the league.
13 weeks in, 12 of which have been games for the Eagles. At any point, there will be some attrition along the way. What does the injury situation look like right now for Philadelphia, and how important is the depth then to absorb it?
Actually, pretty good. They did sustain three pretty key injuries. Avante Maddox was the first to go down. They opened up his practice window yesterday. He is eligible to come off the IR on Sunday. We won't know until we get to Sunday whether he's going to be activated or not, but it is certainly trending in that direction. Dallas Goedert, in the one game the Eagles lost, he had the big fumble where they missed the face mask penalty call. Yeah. Eagles should have never lost that fumble, but the refs just flat out missed it. Hurts the shoulder. He has been in the locker room the last couple of weeks and says he's going to be ready to go as soon as he's eligible, which is next week. And Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is a guy you're going to have to wait a couple of weeks on. But shoot, undrafted free agent Reed Blankenship has stepped in and played pretty damn well. Might not be the interception guy that Chauncey Gardner is, but he's been in the right position. He made one error on an angle on Christian Walker in the Green Bay game. But other than that, he's been pretty solid filling in for him. So even the injuries that the Eagles have, they haven't really paid a price. We worried about the Eagle offense when Goddard went down. All they did was go out and put up 40 and 35 points the last 2 weeks. So I guess they figured out how to make up for the loss of Dallas Goedert.
Timing helps. They've got the Giants twice in the closing weeks of the season, this week and then the last weekend of the season. What's your thought? I mean, Brian Daboll, I think, has actually, to his credit, done a pretty good job. I don't think he has a lot of talent on the team. What do you think about the matchup with the Giants?
I think Brian Daboll's done a very good job, but you are 100% correct when you say he doesn't have as many bullets to fire as the Eagles do. They've just got a more talented roster, and that's why they're a 7-point favorite on the road this week going up to New York. Yeah, I think the Eagles are in good position here. Not only are they clicking on all cylinders, but the Giants have come back down to the pack. When they were 6-1, people were going, yeah, but how are they doing it? They're not making, but they don't have a playmaker other than Saquon Barkley, who got off to a fast start. He's kind of leveled off. They don't have playmakers on defense. They're in the second half in both offensive and defensive rankings in the league, yet they're winning games week in, week out. Yeah, that it's kind of ceased over the last month, where they've had two losses and a tie in their last three games. So the way that the Eagles are playing right now favors the Eagles. The way that the Giants are playing right now favors the Eagles. And, oh, by the way, Jalen Hurts' worst game last year was in New York against the Giants. So I think he's a little bit of a motivated guy. And what we've seen from the Eagles this year is when they have motivated guys, they seem to step up, like A.J. Brown against the Titans last week, like Nick Sirianni against Indianapolis after they fired Frank Reich. The Eagles, when they have a purpose to go into a game, have been almost impossible to beat this year.
Yeah, you are so right. Minnesota early in the season. Oh, how good are they? And then they blew Minnesota out, as a matter of fact.
True. Jalen Reagor did not strike the fear of God into me for the Vikings. I didn't think he was going to be the guy getting the revenge in that one.
You know, for some reason, Jody, I kind of sat back and, like, you know, Brock Purdy is Mr. Irrelevant. Kind of felt like Jalen Reagor was more Mr. Irrelevant than Brock Purdy. All right.
Shot on goal. Score.
That's because, you want to know why? Good assist by you. All right, so I do have to. That's another. Sometimes you catch breaks in other ways. Right? The 49ers have been thought to be a threat down the road to Philadelphia. Now they're down to Brock Purdy. What's your thought on the San Francisco situation? Great defense, but.
But I need to see more Brock Purdy. I did watch.
You got that right.
Because the Eagle game was over and done with. And I would say they beat the Dolphins more so because of their defense. Dolphins were without their two starting tackles right and left. And not surprisingly, Nick Bosa was in the Miami Dolphins backfield wreaking havoc throughout the entire second half. Purdy was fine. He was almost Jimmy G-like. Just don't screw it up. Don't throw interceptions. We'll run the ball effectively enough and have our defense hold the opposition under 20 points. We'll take our chances. I'm not saying Brock Purdy is going to do that, but I'm also not going to tell you he can't do it. So we got another week's test out of Brock Purdy this week. Yeah, the three best teams in the AFC, in the NFC, are the Vikings, the Cowboys, and the Eagles sitting up top. The Eagles have already beaten two of the three. The only team they haven't beaten is San Francisco. And, yeah, if we see Brock Purdy play well over these next couple of weeks, I think the 49ers will jump up and be the Eagles' number one hurdle they'll have to get over to get to Arizona in February.
Look, I know they've got the Giants, then they got to go to Chicago. But then that game in Arlington is looming on Christmas Eve. I know you keep a close eye on the Cowboys. I know Prescott's back. How much better do you think Dallas is now?
I still think Dallas has got a hole at wide receiver. That's why this whole OBJ thing has been the constant talk in the National Football League for weeks now, even though they kind of let leak out that they don't really think he's going to be healthy enough to contribute before the season ends. I know Michael Gallup has picked it up a little bit, but after CeeDee Lamb, I don't love the Cowboys' wide receivers. They can run the football. And Pollard, they pretty much split it every single week, but I'm more afraid of Pollard than I am Zeke Elliott these days. So the Cowboys deserve respect because they've got defense that gets after the quarterback. And we know that that kid from Penn State is the main reason for it. He might be defensive player in the National Football League this year. And I can run the football, but if you gave me my choice right now, which quarterback would I rather have, Jalen Hurts in his offense or Dak Prescott in his offense? It's not close. I'll take the Eagles every day and twice on Sundays.
Jalen Hurts has an accuracy to him that Dak Prescott does not have. And I also think that Jalen Hurts is showing to me he's got a feel for the game that Dak Prescott may not have. That's only me, and I'm neutral here. I'm just talking about just feel for the game. What's your thought on that?
It annoyed the snot out of me this offseason, Steve. If you didn't think Jalen Hurts was going to become a franchise quarterback, you weren't alone. I wasn't ready to anoint him a franchise quarterback, a top 10 in the league quarterback, but the whole he's not accurate enough now. He'll never be accurate enough. That's why he's not shouldn't be the Eagles' long-term quarterback. If you work at it, you can become more accurate. We've seen it happen before in the National Football League. Certainly the kid up in Buffalo did it. Josh Allen, his accuracy improved every single year. And I said, if there's one guy in the National Football League who I can tell you will get better because of his work ethic, it's Jalen Hurts. Nobody works harder than he does. Nobody's more committed. So those who just dismiss the fact that he can improve his accuracy annoyed me a great deal. And yeah, he's kind of put those people in their place this year.
I mean, I know it ended up being incomplete because Brown had a toe out of bounds. But that throw he makes to Brown, where he dropped it in the bucket, incomplete. And then the touchdown that Brown caught in the end zone with really great coverage. Right. I mean, I'm sorry, you can't throw two footballs better than that.
Understood. And yeah, Brown gets credit for the second one because he basically took it away from the defender.
Yeah.
But my favorite play might have been the one that was in between those two when Brown just ran over like a Mack truck the defensive back who got in his way, and they rightfully called the penalty on the D-back because he's the one who's got to avoid the contact. He didn't. Brown just dismissed him by running right over him. That, for me, was actually the most fun play from an Eagle perspective. And I'll give A.J. Brown this much credit because I've given him some grief on our Birds 365 YouTube show over the last 2 weeks because he had a couple of fumbles. One of them I thought was him trying to get a little too cute and make a move. That's not what A.J. Brown does. And the other one, he was fighting for yardage and he got stripped, got the football punched out. Again, that's not A.J. Brown. He is, there's a reason they call him Swole Batman because he's got a build like a tight end. Oh, he wasn't fooling with any niceties and or trying to make cute moves against Tennessee last week. He was just ripping people apart.
Yeah, except he made the cute move at the end like, I got by him. Now I'm going to backpedal in. There's a little showman in him, too, and that's good.
as long as he doesn't cough up the football, he gets away with something.
That's
like
exactly
that.
Hey, look, I'm saying it's good to put on a show. That's good.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
Fans love him for it.
Hey, we love having you on. Thank you so much, as always. It's just great conversation with you. Thank you.
Good to catch up, brother. Call me when you need me.